Welcome back.
Welcome back, folkies.
Okay. Welcome back, folkies.
You said it.
Did.
We're on OnlySide. It's not welcome back, folkies. Hey there, folkies. What's up, folkie? What's up, folkies? That's what I say.
I usually just say. That's what you said. Okay. I usually just say welcome back to Folk Told Folk Tales.
No, you say Folk Told Folk Tales.
Folk Told Folk Tales.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's not how I say it.
It's folk told folk tales.
Yeah.
You gotta go down on the inflection.
No, but I usually go, welcome back to folk told folk tales.
No, you usually go, welcome back to folk told folk tales.
Okay. That's enough bickering about how to say the name of our show.
Anyways, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Depends on when you listen to it, I guess.
Good afternoon.
It comes out in the morning.
Good middle of the night.
Are you listening to us in the middle of the night?
We're recording this at night. Because we spent all day cooking.
We did a good job.
We did.
All right, let's get into this. What are we talking about today?
Today we're going to be doing some Asian myths.
We are.
We're going to be doing some Chinese myths.
We are. Well, I am.
Yes, I'm not.
I am, yeah.
I'm doing one from the Philippines and one from Indonesia.
Very cool.
Yes, trying to be as inclusive as possible, so please send us, you know, cool myths from where you're from.
Yeah. Anyways, I get to start this one. Hootie hoo. So buckle in. This is going to be a wild ride. It's actually not that wild. I think this one's pretty cool.
Okay.
So, my myth is from China, and it is about how the Chinese zodiac got started.
Very cool.
Very cool, yes. So, the Chinese zodiac, if you don't know, is made up of 12 signs, and all of them are represented by animals. In order, they are rat, ox, tiger, rabbit, dragon, snake, horse, goat, monkey, rooster, dog, and pig. All in that order.
I said my mom was a rabbit to you earlier when you were researching this, but I think she's actually a rat because I remember she hates whatever she is. So I think she might be a rat.
That's rough.
Sorry, Mom.
But each of the signs, again, is named after an animal and each have their own set of characteristics, which I will be going over later. And Ju and I are actually both oxen because we were born in the same year.
And we're both Leos.
We are both Leos, yeah.
And we're like opposites, so none of this makes sense.
Yeah, I think I'm a true Leo.
Since I'm a twin, I don't think I'm a true Leo.
I think she's a true Leo. Yeah, you got.
I'm something else.
I think you should have been born in like September.
Oh, or October.
Yeah, like a water sign or something.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not a fire sign.
I am, 100%. Anyways.
I'm tears, your anger.
True. All right, let's get back on track. Okay. So, a long, long, long time ago, the Chinese zodiac didn't exist. Shocker, because this is about how it came and how it came to be. So, the Jade Emperor was a very prominent figure in Chinese mythology. He was considered to be the ruler of heaven, one of the highest ranking gods, and the very first Chinese emperor. So this is a big, this guy's a big deal.
Okay. Yeah.
So he wanted to select 12 animals to be his guards. I'm not sure why he would need them if he's up in heaven. Like, I don't know what's going to come to attack him up there, but he wanted 12 guards.
I mean, demons, potentially, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know enough about Chinese mythology to know if demons are breaking into heaven.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know.
So then he sent an immortal being. We can infer that it's like an angel or something. It just says an immortal being. Into man's world to spread the message of what the emperor wanted. And he said that the first 12 to enter through the heavenly gates would have their ranks in that order. So the first one to enter is first, second one is second, third one is third, so on and so forth.
What a job interview. Like, just walk in, we'll give it to you in whatever order you get here.
That's right. Okay. So, the next day, 12 animals took up the task and started the race.
Okay.
So, remember, this is going to go in order. It's going to go in order of the way I listed it earlier. Mm-hmm. So, the rat got up very early and started to head towards the gate. It isn't specified where the gate is, so I guess they just, like, know where they're going. Maybe the immortal being told them. Yeah. The rat then came across a river that it couldn't get across. But then he saw the ox, who had also gotten up early to complete the race. The rat then decided to hitch a ride on the ox, who could simply walk across the river no problem. And he hopped into the ox's ear and just settled in for the ride. Hmm. The ox didn't mind at all that the rat was using him as a free taxi, and he just kept going about his way. And it seems like, in my opinion, or in my interpretation, it seemed that the ox didn't care, because they were going to be the first two to get there anyway. It didn't matter to him who was first. And after they had crossed the river, the rat jumped out of the ox's ear, raced to the gates, and stopped at the feet of the emperor, with the ox following closely behind. Therefore, the rat is first, ox is second. Mm-hmm. The tiger and the rabbit then came in third and fourth. Both animals are fast and were considered to be competitive, but the tiger was faster and had an easier time crossing the river. The rabbit had to jump across stones to get across the river. Obviously couldn't just, you know, walk across, because mm-hmm. rabbits are teeny. The dragon came fifth, and the snake, who was following closely in the dragon's shadow, came sixth. Next were the horse and the goat, who were said to be very modest animals. Neither of them were very competitive and were willing to let the other go ahead of them. The emperor recognized this politeness and ranked them as seventh and eighth.
Huh, so neither of them was actually seventh or eighth.
Well, they were the next to get there, but you know, the emperor was just like, you're so polite, seventh and eighth it is. You know.
Okay.
The last animals were the monkey, rooster, dog, and pig. The monkey was lazy and waited until the very last minute to begin his race. But when he saw that he had fallen behind, he started to use the trees to his advantage and started to jump between them in order to pass the other three. Hmm. Therefore, the monkey is ranked ninth, and rooster, dog, and pig are 10, 11, and 12.
And you don't know how they got there?
Nope. I assume the pig just got there when he got there.
I mean, I'm surprised that the dog took so long.
I mean, not much is said about those last three, actually. Like, you would think the rooster would have had a harder time.
Yeah, especially the rooster. What the heck's he gonna do? Teeny tiny steps.
Yes. But they move pretty quick, though. But yeah. Anyways, those 12 animals are now immortalized within the Chinese zodiac and are the 12 guardians of the heavenly gates.
I noticed that there is no dragon.
There is a dragon. Dragon came before the snake.
Oh, it did? Oh, okay. I was going to say, because that's like all over Chinese, you know, architecture and stuff. Okay.
Somebody never didn't pay then. Attention.
Oof. I did pay attention. I was thinking about the snake and I was like, ugh, snake in the water crossing the river. That's my worst nightmare.
Yikes.
I like dragons, though. Dragons can stay.
I like them, too. I've got a huge one tattooed on me.
Yes. Yes, you do.
Alright, so let's talk briefly about the symbolism that each animal has, and then I'll be done. The rat symbolizes strong vitality and intelligence, and if you guys don't already know, rats are super, super smart animals, and the people that they represent are said to be very quick-witted.
Oh, there you go, Mom. You're welcome. Even though I offended you at first. I have a question. So
I might have an answer.
Great. When you were researching this, did the way that they get to the gates of heaven have to do with their personality traits? Like, was there any way to read into that?
I'm sure. I mean, I didn't read, like, really in-depth, like, articles and essays about it, but I'm sure it did.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, when you said the rabbit had to jump across, like, that's pretty resourceful, you know? Maybe the rabbit
in his ear.
No, the rabbit jumped across the stones.
Oh, the rabbit. Sorry, I was thinking rat. Yeah.
So, like, maybe that's resourcefulness.
Well, you gotta let me.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. Yes. Thank you. Yes, okay. Continue.
So, the ox, they are considered to be lucky and promising and strong-willed, and people born in the year of the ox are said to possess the same qualities.
Yeah, we're both definitely oxes.
I think so.
Strong-willed for sure.
Oh, definitely.
Hard-headed, more like.
Yeah. Yeah. Strong will is just a nice way to say we're knuckleheads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The tiger, quick-witted like the rat, but also versatile, resourceful, and the people born in the year of a tiger are said to possess very kind qualities. Hmm. It's supposed to be very nice. So if you were born in the year of a tiger and you're mean, you need to check yourself.
Check yourself. You're supposed to be nice. Yeah. What's wrong?
The rabbit. The symbolism of the rabbit is very deeply rooted in Chinese culture, even more so than a lot of these other animals. I would say the rabbit is almost up there with the dragon.
Yeah.
The rabbit is regarded for its living habits, such as vigilance, wittiness, cautiousness, and self-protection, which is a really big one. And of course, if any of you guys have ever seen a wild rabbit, not so much a domesticated one, but a wild rabbit, boy, those things are very heavily rooted in self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so dang cute, I just want to snuggle them.
Yeah, but some people want to kill them, and that's why they gotta self-preserve.
Like my dummy dog, I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah, he's real cute.
He's a part wiener dog, so if you guys know wiener dogs, they like to kill and eat rabbits. Very sad.
Jack Russell and wiener dog, which is, yeah. So I've never like heard of that.
They like to eat little small animals like that, like badgers and rabbits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. The dragon, ooh, symbolizes power, nobleness, honor, luck, and success. So if you're born into this year, man, you got some pretty hefty qualities endowed upon you.
Yeah, luck is like one you don't even have to work for.
Right.
I gotta look up what my aunt is, because she's the luckiest person I know. Maybe she's a dragon.
Maybe. Snakes. They symbolize indifference and sinisterness. Snakes always get a bad rap. They're always seen as the bad guys. And in Chinese mythology, snakes are seen as the dragon's lesser, lamer, kind of little brother or son. Snakes also symbolize mystery. So maybe if you're born in this year, you've got a nice aura of mystery around you.
Cool.
The horse, heavy symbolism of the subjective nature of men. And also represents a faithful companion. So someone born in the year of the horse would make a great friend or partner. Goat, health preservation, etiquette, and ceremonies. Goats also symbolize pureness, preciousness, and natural beauty. So, kudos to anyone born in this year. You're a 10 out of 10.
They're the goat.
Oh, gosh, I wish you hadn't said that.
They're the goat. I'm so funny.
Yeah, so funny. The monkey. Mm-hmm. Widely regarded as very smart and powerful. This is reflected in the way the monkey finished the race by using his surroundings to his advantage. People born in this year are said to be just as smart and witty.
Monkey is actually in a lot of Chinese mythology, I think.
There's one monkey, I can't remember what like the monkey's name was, but it's like one really prominent monkey that had to do a lot with Buddha and some other stuff.
Well, in Hinduism, there is like a monkey that is, well, a monkey person that is like super important, who might have been like similar to the Buddhism one.
Like Hanuman?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that what you're going for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know you knew the name. I didn't remember the name.
Oh, I know things.
Yeah, Hanuman.
Yeah. Where was I?
I only had to read the Ramayana like 5 times, and I don't even remember anything.
Hmm.
You were on the rooster.
Ah, rooster. This one is easy to guess for me. Punctuality and honesty. Punctuality because, you know, the rooster was known to, like,
wake you up.
Exactly. On time. You know, loudly. As soon as the sun comes up, what the heck is that? What the? Ah! Not funny? Okay.
Okay.
But the rooster also represents bravery and competitiveness. And if you have ever met a rooster, or if you have one, I'm in the South, so it's common for people to have roosters and chickens and whatnot.
Yes.
You know that these things are fighters. And you never want to get on the wrong side of a rooster, or anyone born in this year.
Mm.
But I'm just making it very clear, do not get on the wrong side of a rooster. Those things can be mean.
Yeah.
Alright, dogs. They symbolize luck. Also extreme cuteness. No, they don't. They don't. But they should.
Looking at Fitzer right now.
Hey, hey. What? How dare you? That's his secret identity.
I'm sorry. Looking at Fitzsimmons, the pup. He's chillin'.
How dare you use his government name? Who do you think you are?
He's very cute. Extreme cuteness. He's trying to sleep while we're recording.
Anyways, dogs can be lucky or extremely unlucky, depending on their coloring.
Interesting.
But that's a whole other subject, and we really don't have time to get into it today. But it's really cool. I might go over one of these days. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, let us know if you want to hear about that. I want to hear about that.
What if I just want to do it? Who cares what they think? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. Yikes, guys.
I'm kidding. All right, last but not least, the pig. I'm sorry in advance to anyone born in this year. Anyways, the pig symbolizes foolishness, laziness, greed, and ugliness. I'm so sorry.
Dang.
Listen, I am not picking on anybody. I'm just reading the facts, okay? This is what I learned. Please don't hate me. But, good news, they are also considered to be very brave and great companions.
Okay, that's so mean, though. Some of these are like, you're lucky, you're honest, you're powerful, you're witty, and this one's like, you're ugly, you're lazy, you're foolish, you're so stupid.
So mean. Oh, man. But pigs are really cute. I want one. They're so round.
Yeah.
But that's it. I'm done. We would love to know what year you were born in, and let us know if you think you reflect the characteristics of your animal, or if you don't.
Yeah. And then maybe sometime we'll do a zodiac for the months and see if you fall into that. You can do Greek myth on that. I'm sure it's very complicated.
Yeah.
Cool.
Your turn.
Yes. Okay. So mine is an Indonesian myth, and I know nothing about Indonesia.
Me
so
either.
This is going to be fun and educational.
This one's going to be a doozy.
Okay. This one is called Shallot and Garlic, things that I love, but its original title is Bawang Merah Bawang Putih.
I don't know why you're looking at me. I do not speak Indonesian.
Okay, well, that was my best guess. But it's known as the Cinderella story of Indonesia. So I'm going to lay out the characters first so that you know what's going on, because I was very confused. But there's a widow and two daughters. So the daughters are Bawang Merah, so shallot, and then Bawang Putih, garlic. So I'm going to call them garlic and shallot throughout because I can't say those names how they should be said. But shallot is, the actual shallot itself is a small bulb that comes to the ground. It's kind of used like a substitute for onions. It's actually the second most major crop in Indonesia after hot peppers. But they don't really grow it all themselves. They also get shallot imports from Vietnam, India, and Thailand. And this character is the spoiled daughter. Meanwhile, garlic is the hardworking stepdaughter and the protagonist of the story.
Cool.
Yes. So one day, garlic is doing the family's laundry in the river when she loses a sarong, which is a long piece of cloth that women in warmer countries tie around their waists. Looks kind of like a skirt.
Cool.
And she runs along the river to get it back, but comes to a dead end at a small hut. In the hut is an old woman, because in these stories there's always an old woman.
She must be disguised as something else.
Or she must be disguised as the old woman.
Well, that's what I meant. Like, she's disguised as an old woman.
Always.
Because she is something else, like some fairy or queen or
something. Always. And this old woman, supposedly, said that she took the sarong, so she literally just picked it out of the river. She was like, mine now. And she would only give it back to Garlic if she worked for her. So Garlic, being a good person, agreed. She cooks and she cleans for the old woman, and afterward, the woman offers two pumpkins to Garlic for her to choose from. She shows her two that are ripe, but one is large and one is small. Garlic is humble and chooses the small one. So when she gets home, her evil stepmom tells her to cook the pumpkin. But when they open it, unlike in Peach Boy from Japanese myth / Momotaro, there are jewels inside. Because in that story, they opened the peach, there was a boy inside. And also bad things. But this one has good things in it. So of course, because terrible people will always be terrible, Shallot and her mom take the jewels for themselves and leave Garlic with nothing. But they're not satisfied with just this, and the stepmom sends Shallot to throw her sarong in the river and wait for it to go to the old woman's hut. Great plan.
Of course.
10 out of 10. Shallot does this, and of course, she refuses to cook and clean for the old woman and just takes the larger pumpkin instead. She's like, I know what I'm here for, give it to me. She can't even contain herself and opens the pumpkin, and a poisonous snake jumps out and bites her. Later on, Garlic and the stepmom go out looking for her, only to find her dead in the woods on the way home. That's basically it. So it really, it's like, why didn't the stepmom get what was coming to her? Why was only Shallot punished? And what does that mean for the fate of Garlic? in some versions, the snakes don't kill Charlotte and the stepmom. They just make them sick, and in turn, they realize that their greed and meanness will get them nowhere. But in other ones, they literally are just like, Charlotte is dead, Garlic and the stepmom get to live, you know, forever, I guess. But basically, it's very similar to the Japanese story of Shitakiri Suzumi, which is the tongue-cut sparrow, which is, be a diligent worker and remember that greediness will not make you happy. It will bring hardship in the future. Actually, both Garlic and Shallots are becoming unavailable in Indonesia due to COVID, which is sad.
Darn it, COVID.
I know. And in Christianity, this is just a fun fact that I looked up. Garlic was said to have grown from the spot where the devil's left foot stepped when he left the Garden of Eden, and onions grew from where the right foot stepped.
Hmm, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. I like garlic, so
I guess I like garlic and shallots, so I don't know what that means about me, but...
Oofy.
Oof. Oh, well. Okay, you ready for one more?
One more.
Yes. Okay, so this one's from the Philippines.
Cool, cool, cool.
I should have asked our friend who's from the Philippines. Probably. You reminded me today.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this one was actually suggested from our Twitter friend. Twitter friend.
Twitter.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Neoptolemus.
Neoptolemus?
Neoptolemus?
Yeah.
Sure.
Neoptolemus.
Listen, words are hard. I couldn't say Twitter.
You Twitter. Suggested by Neoptolemus on Twitter.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Neoptolemus on Twitter.
Yeah.
How's that?
Okay. Sure, yeah.
So this is called the Bakunawa. Is that to your liking?
I don't know, Filipino. I guess I'll ask.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, this is about lunar eclipses and how they happen.
Cool, cool.
So if you've ever wondered, hey, how's that happening? It's a giant sea serpent slash dragon, obviously.
Right. Nothing to do with the moon or the sun or anything like that.
Mm-mm, none of that.
Cool.
Yikes.
Dragon.
In Filipino mythology, it's believed that there were 7 moons for Earth, but that the Bakunawa, seeing how gorgeous and yummy they were, I guess, came out of the ocean and swallowed these moons. The god, Batala, who created these moons, was upset that his beautiful work had been swallowed, as anyone would be, and so he stopped Bakunawa from eating the 7th and last moon. This taught the people of Earth to arm themselves against Bakunawa, lest he take our last moon. This gave him the name Man-Eater and Moon-Eater. I don't know why he was so hungry, but another precaution that Batala took was planting bamboo that looked like stains on the moon, which is what we call dark spots, so that Bakunawa wouldn't want to eat it because he'd be like, ew, it's spoiled, I guess. The two main writers of this folktale are Damania Eugenio and Fernando Beister. Originally, these myths were evangelical and related to the goodness of gods, called Visayan. There are actually a lot of Bakunawa tattoos nowadays, and they're meant to represent misfortune, strength, strong will, and steadfastness. So it could really go any type of way for that. But the actual literal meaning of Bakunawa is bent slash curved snake. A lot of people say that it's related to the Hindu god, Rahu, who is a shadow god who causes eclipses and meteors. He's also known as an omen of bad luck because he eclipses the power of the moon and therefore makes way for evil. Which is interesting because usually the presence of the full moon makes way for evil.
True. Werewolves and whatnot.
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 But yeah, that's it.
Cool.
Yeah. That was a lot of mispronunciation on my part, but that's whatever.
That's fine. Words are hard.
Words are hard. Especially since we started a podcast.
Yikes.
Yikes. But yeah, those were some Asian myths.
Yay, we did it.
Fun to learn.
We did it.
Yay.
Okay.
Well, that was terrifying for everyone. Anyway.
Bye.
Bye.